Hi, this is Meredith Foster. This is the Epic Podcast. Enjoy.
My wife and I just came back to the hotel room in tears. And we're just like, you know what? You and I can do this, but this is too much for our kids. Our fear was that they would either hate God or hate us or both.
Everybody has a story, and everyone is a chapter, a piece of a much bigger picture. Welcome to Epic.
A great big story
that's been happening since the beginning.
It's filled with redemption,
suffering,
hope.
And power.
It has many characters.
And so you and I are
a part of it.
We're not.
You're not the hero.
This is Epic.
Hi, this is Meredith Foster. Eric Nurmi had always said he would never be a missionary, anything but that. He was a business guy. He was good at it, and he believed his role in life was to help fund and send missionaries. But through a hard life experience, he began to hear God asking him a question. What else are you willing to do? He was really asking, how much are you willing to trust me? God kept asking him to take bigger and bigger steps of faith. And finally, he asked, will you do the one thing you said you would never do? This is chapter 6 of Epic, Eric Nurmi's story.
So I don't know much about your life prior to this. What were you going about life? What was going on?
Sure. I see my vision and the way that my life has turned out as kind of a combination of two men that have been influential in my life. One was my dad, who was in vocational ministry. The first time I was actually taken overseas was at the age of 10 and was able to see poverty firsthand. And just the image that stuck out in my mind was another boy who was about the same age as me carrying a corrugated piece of steel that ended up being the side of his home.
Wow.
And so that image had always stuck with me. And growing up, I always had a heart for the world outside of the U.S., just internationally and everything. And it even carried into what I chose to choose as a degree, and that was in international business.
Huh.
The other person is my grandfather on my mom's side, and he was a serial entrepreneur. And though he died when I was just a young child, just his legacy had a huge impact on me. I was able to see how what he had created in business was able to be experienced by my children, his great-grandchildren.
Wow.
And him being able to provide for just his kids, his wife, for over 30 years. And not only that, but he was an evangelist. And I remember as a 6-year-old in the church service right after his death, and the pastor saying, how many people are here because of Bud Taylor, and seeing nearly the entire church stand up. And so I had always had an affinity to business. I came from a family and a history of people that saw their life as ministry and were in vocational ministry. But I basically said, I will never do ministry. I saw that world and I did not want to be a missionary. I did not want to be a vocational ministry. I saw the importance of it. And I thought my role was to be a sender.
Meaning you would support people. You would fund others who were missionaries.
Yes. And so I had seen that as my role. So for the years, I had been that connector. I had been that sender.
So that was your story. Did you ever expect that to change? Did you just feel like, this is who I am for life?
I felt that I would do something different and more intentional in ministry once I did my thing in business. Once I retired, once the kids were out of high school.
Gotcha.
And once I, you know, was financially independent was the benchmark. What changed was we were in the middle of adopting our youngest. We were matched with a little girl. Her name was Shara. Within 2 weeks of that match and sharing her picture and to our entire family and friends, we got a phone call that she had passed away.
Oh.
And we had been in this process for about a year and a half.
Wow.
This little girl who was ours just passed away. And it was all she needed was an IV. And she was in a rural orphanage that didn't have access to medical care. And through that heartache and through that brokenness, I felt God say, what else are you willing to do? You need to do more. And so just looking at what I was doing, I was like, okay, how can I be more than a sender? And I took over with a friend of mine, a nonprofit that the founders were looking to just kind of step away from. And we decided to do skills training and business development with orphan kids. And we focused on Haiti and Peru.
Wow.
And we had been doing that for several years. And it was fun to be able to make the impact, to see lives changed. But every year I felt this nudge, what else are you willing to do? Hmm. What else are you willing to do? I would say, okay, God, I'll do this more full time if you can provide a good salary for me. Okay, God, I'll do this a little later on once I'm done with my business. And it just kept coming back. What else are you willing to do? I had done the Camino de Santiago with my wife and my parents, which is the walk of St. James. And it's a pilgrimage that has been going on for years, thousands of years. And on that trail, I was praying that God would give me a heart after his. And the discussion was, what if you had to raise your own support? And I was like, that was the one thing I was like, I don't want to give that. I've always been in straight commission sales, but to raise and say, okay, I'm going to go to people and say, mm-hmm. do you believe in me and my ministry mm-hmm. that you would help me do that? That was tough. It was tougher than saying, okay, I'm going to trust that what I provide for the marketplace is mm-hmm. is going to provide for me and my family, which it always has, and God has provided for us in good times and bad. But it was another level of faith. I said, okay, God, if you call me into that, I'll go. There were a few things that we had actually sought out, but each time the door was being shut. And I had a discussion with a friend of mine. I said, you know, we are ready to go. I have said, God, if you send me, I'll go, even if it's raising support. And these doors are shutting. I said, who, what ministry says, okay, no, we don't want you. And it wasn't necessarily that. It was just different yeah. pivots and organizations going, okay, well, we were going this way. Now we're going this. Mm-hmm. But I'm going, okay, this is odd. So we just said, you know what, the timing's not now, and we're just going to put it on the back burner. And, you know, we're willing to go, but we're just going to go about our lives.
Now, how long after Shara passed away was this realization that you were willing to go full time?
About 4 or 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, we just put it aside and said, okay, timing's not right. And we said, okay, if timing is not right to go, how are we going to be intentional about our lives now? And we said, we want our kids to have a heart for the world, just mm-hmm. like what was created in me at the age of 10. And so I contacted our director of Peru. I said, hey, we would like to go on this trip in July with you guys. We want to bring our entire family. And he didn't want us to go with our 5-year-old. And so we decided to just honor that and to seek other opportunities that we could do a family mission trip. My wife came to me as she was looking for stuff, and she's like, Eric, you got to see this post. It was a post for a business developer and a business trainer to help missionaries get into closed countries with business. And looking at the job description and looking everything with it, I knew that this time the door would be opened. And I would have to make a choice.
You knew it was, the job description was you.
It was. Everything lined up. But I was not ready. Even though I was ready and had stepped through many times at that point, I was like, I put this aside and yeah. it's showing up now. And so I left it alone for over 3 weeks. And every week my wife was like, did you apply? I go, no, I didn't. Did you send in your application? No, I did not. And I had a conversation with a friend of mine, and I said, you know, I know that the doors will be open this time, and I'm just having a hard time because I'm not ready to make a decision yet. Mm. And his response to me was, do you mean obey?
What did you say?
I had a pause, and I said, that's probably the better choice of words.
Oh, my goodness. Was that a light bulb moment for you?
It was. Mm-hmm. Because that evening, I finished my application for that position, and I got a call right away, and they said, we'd love to have you. But would you consider Albania?
And where was the position originally? Where was it?
The original position was going to be either North South Africa or the Arabian Peninsula. And out of everywhere in the world, I was open to go anywhere except Eastern Europe.
Interesting. And why was that?
I just had no desire, no affinity, no mm-hmm. Just
no feel of call.
No, yeah, it was just nothing. Nothing ever drew me to Eastern Europe. I was like, yeah, send me anything in the world, but all right, Eastern Europe, really? My response to them was, sure, where's that? And Albania sits right above Greece. Started just researching the country and found out that it was the only nation to ever declare themselves an atheist state.
Is that the current situation?
Communism fell in 91, and it became a capitalist society at that point. But it, right now it is 70% Muslim, less than 1% evangelical Christian. And our role there will be to help create a vibrant community of Christ followers among this least reached people, but doing that through business by helping pastors become sustainable because their congregations are too small or poor, to helping the congregations actually sustain themselves and be able to provide a good life for themselves rather than having to leave to a larger city or, like most Albanians who have left the country, over half of the population that consider themselves Albanian have actually live outside of Albania.
For economic reasons.
For economic reasons.
Yeah. So you started researching, and then and did it sort of turn on a light bulb for you? Or?
Not really. I was like, the biggest thing is I said, okay, God, if you call me, I'll go. And so I did not dictate where that would be. I had my preferences, but I knew that this organization was the one that I was supposed to be with. I knew that God had trusted their leadership to put where they felt I would best be served. I just trusted it. But we decided to do a vision trip to just kind of confirm, to be able to share the story a little bit better. Even though we were willing to just pack up and go.
Your wife as well?
My wife as well, yeah.
Wow.
And so we decided to actually go out and see the ministry and meet the team, so we did that. We were there for 5 days, and the second day, my wife and I just came back to the hotel room in tears. And we're just like, you know what, you and I can do this, but we're asking too much. This is too much for our kids. Our fear was that through this process of moving the family across the world, taking them out of everything that they enjoy, that they would either hate God or hate us, or both.
God had asked Eric, "What else are you willing to do?" The guy who said he'd never be a missionary, never would raise full-time support to go on the mission field. He's now in a hotel room in Albania. And God is asking, what else are you willing to do? Are you willing to trust me? This time the answer seems too hard, too much. We'll have the rest of Eric's story coming up on Epic. Welcome back to Epic. If you can't stick around for the rest of the show, you can always listen to the podcast on our website. And if you have a story, we would love to hear it. You can tell us about it at myfaithradio.com. Today, we are telling Eric Nurmi's story. He was a successful businessman who had always seen his role as helping to send missionaries, but not to be one. Now God was asking him to do the one thing he never thought he would do, take his family and move to Albania. And that seemed like too much. Here's part two of Eric's story.
We were there for 5 days, and the second day, my wife and I just came back to the hotel room in tears. And we're just like, you know what, you and I can do this, but we're asking too much. This is too much for our kids. Our fear was that through this process of moving the family across the world, taking them out of everything that they enjoy, that they would either hate God or hate us, or both.
And how old are your kids?
I have three boys. They're 11, 13, and 14. And then my daughter is 5. So we're sitting in that hotel room and just in tears and just having this, I guess, second thoughts or whatever. Mm-hmm. And we pull up the verse of the day on the YouVersion of app, and it was Galatians 6:10, which states, whenever you can do good, do so. Especially for the family of believers. Never read it that way before, but that is exactly what we're doing. We're going to come alongside the family of believers to help strengthen them and help strengthen the church. And then the next day, had a chance to spend the day with the local pastor, and he took us up to this castle that overlooks the city. I'm looking at this stone church that's all boarded up in the side of this castle wall overlooking the mountains. And I'm like, man, this is a really picturesque view. So I'm taking the picture. And as I'm taking this picture, I hear the Muslim call of prayer echoing up through the castle walls. And at that moment, my heart broke. And that evening, I reached out to another good friend of mine. And I said, hey, today, my heart broke for Albania and the Albanian people in this ministry. And his response to me was, Eric, this morning I was praying that God would either give you an undeniable passion for this or take it all away. To me, that was just a confirmation of how powerful prayer is. Because the morning as he's saying that was the afternoon when I was over there. And it was probably about the exact same time as my heart was breaking. My friend was praying for that. You often hear missionaries go, yeah, here's our financial need and we want your prayer need as well. And you're going, yeah, really, you just want my financial need. But to me, at that moment, it confirmed the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And how much it is needed for people who have chosen to leave the world they knew. So.
But, and even as you're telling that, I mean, one of the things that I'm thinking about is the power of prayer for your kids, for this thing that, you know, is probably absolutely the most difficult about it.
Yeah.
But praying that this is not an experience that turns them against you or God, but instead is the opposite.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I had a big conversation with God about, because experiences are really important to me and my family.
Uh-huh.
And I've been very blessed to give my kids just an unbelievable life of experiences and travel and just all these different things. And I'm going, I'm moving to this country, and yeah, they're going to have this really neat experience, but at the same time, they're losing a lot of what I've been able to give them. And so I just had this conversation with God about that, and his response to me was, Eric, I know what's important to you. I'm the one that put the passion in you. Do you think that I would take that away? So just the confirmation that those are my fears, but God has created me a certain way, and he knows what's important for us and for me and my family, and that he will allow those things to grow, that he has my back, he has my kids' back, and that doing this is his best. It's not easy. It's not easy to close a successful business that you've built for the last 8 years. He knows what's important to us because he's actually put that in us.
Yeah.
And that he wants us to be a part of what he's doing. And it doesn't necessarily need to look like closing your business and moving all the way across the world, but he does want you to be part of what he's doing. But he cares about the individual pieces, the small things that you get joy of. But he does want us not to see that as our identity, but to have our identity in him.
Yeah.
And oftentimes those things that are important to us start becoming our identity. And it has for me for many years that my success in my business was my identity. And I noticed that when my business failed and I had to rebuild that out, and how much of how I saw my value was in my business, and having built it back up, that has become much more of a healthy identity.
Mm-hmm. Clearly, because you're willing to walk away from it.
Yeah.
If it was your sole identity, that you wouldn't be able to do that.
No.
I'm guessing this is I don't know how to quantify it, but the biggest leap of faith you've ever made in your life. Would that be a fair way to characterize this?
It would. We often talked, my wife and I, about how, you know, God, it would be great to just have a billboard that said, you know, Albania, Nurmi family, go.
Yeah.
But we've had these nudgings along the way, and we've had to walk through just areas in life that we had no clearness on at the time. Hmm. In fact, even Albania was kind of like all these things were pointing there, but it was like, okay, are we doing the right thing? And one of the confirmations was when I got back from our vision trip, I'm sharing the story with my sister. And prior to going, I asked the guy that I'm replacing, I said, who are the prominent people in business that I should be connected with, that I should introduce myself to? Because I'm helping these people start businesses. Business is about relationships, especially in this culture, which is so relational. And he said, Eric, I've only been working with the churches and the people within the congregations primarily. So I haven't really reached out to the major business community. And I'm like, okay, That's one of the first things I'll do when I get there is just kind of work those inroads and see what I can do. And I get back, share this with my sister. She was late meeting a contractor there at her house. And she goes, sorry, my brother just got back from Albania. And he goes, what was he doing there? He goes, I'm Albanian. And she said, well, he's helping people start businesses in this town called Lushnja. And he said, I'm from Lushnja. He said, in fact, my cousin is visiting in Chicago, and he's a banker in Lushnja.
Oh, my goodness.
So I met up with these guys and find out that the guy is an accountant for a large bank in Lushnja, that he's a hotel owner, runs a construction company, has done import-export. And then a few weeks ago, I found out that he was asked to run for the legislative branch for the government. And it's amazing how God just puts, I was like, that's a billboard right there. And over the last several months, as we've been preparing for this, things like that have come time and time again. I'm just like, all right, God moment after God moment after God moment. And just a further preparation of what we will be doing. And so oftentimes the billboards happen after you step through and say, okay, I'm willing to do that.
I was just going to ask you what you kind of learned through this process, what you would share with somebody else who's a little bit further back along in the process, mm-hmm. right? Just trying to figure that out, what you've learned from this.
Yeah.
Right?
It's, I think another thing is don't harden your heart, because for many years I was like, you know what? I won't do that. I won't go into vocational ministry and I'm not called to do that. And that's not where my passion is, or there's no way I'm going to do something that causes me to raise my own support. That's not me. God wouldn't choose me to do that. And he has. But what has been phenomenal for me and extremely humbling is the over 60 people that have come alongside me so far that say, Eric, we believe in you. We believe in this ministry. People that have adjusted their lifestyles.
Wow.
So that they could give more to this ministry. And you go, okay, that is so humbling and so encouraging to say, okay, yes, this is, I am stepping in the right path. People mm-hmm. see this as valuable, because I see it as valuable, but to say, okay, other people do see that as well. Just keeping your heart open. It's a hard thing to do, because oftentimes where God says, or where we say, I will never do this, it's a heart issue. And yeah. God says, let me work on that. I think that for me, this time in my life, God has used so many things that I look back and I go, okay, he was prepping me here. He was prepping me here. About a year ago, I was going through my office, kind of cleaning some stuff out, and I came across a binder which had just a lot of other business ideas and things that I had chosen either not to follow through with or had started and just needed to stop for other reasons. At that time, I was going, well, look at all these things that I did not finish. I'm kind of beating myself up about it. But looking at what I will be doing and how the preparation of looking mm-hmm. all over those business plans and marketing studies and everything, all that is coming to a head, and I'll be using in my work here. So it's interesting to see where the passions that he has placed on me through my life experiences, through things that I didn't think would ever be used, how he's going to be using those. Oftentimes we just don't see it in the now.
Mm-hmm.
I had a missionary friend who his son died at the age of 29 and made a major impact with me with the words that he said, which was, our God is too big and too good to not live life large. And those words cut me to the bone. And that was a major turning point for me 2 years ago to actually get me to start thinking, okay, God, I will, whatever you call, I will do mm-hmm. because you're too big and too good to not live life large. And though it looked like I was doing big things from the outside, my business was going great. I was involved in a nonprofit. We were doing some pretty neat stuff. I knew in my heart that I was holding back. Following the road doesn't always make it easy. I think there's so many wrong doctrine out there that says, you know, if you follow God, then it's just going to be easy. Your life's going to be great. But it's not promised that it will be. I mean, Jesus said, take up your cross and follow me. Basically saying, you got to die to follow me. And so the death that we have to take isn't necessarily a physical death, but it may be a sacrifice of something that you thought you held dear, like being close to family or providing some specific experience for your kid. What is God asking you to sacrifice that you, in your mind and in your heart, have said anything but that? Because that's where we had to come to. We had to come to, okay, God, no matter if you ask for that thing that we're not willing to give up, we'll do it.
And they have done it. Eric and his family have been in Albania now for almost 2 months. He says there have been some surprises along the way, but they're learning and adapting to this new adventure. Thanks to Eric for sharing their story. Today's show was produced by Jason Rackow and Ted Ross. Our theme song was written by Stephen Johnson, and I'm your host, Meredith Foster. And you know what? You have a chapter in God's great big story. Tell us about it on our website, myfaithradio.com. See you next week. Thanks so much for listening. Every episode of Epic is made possible by people like you. You can make a gift today at myfaithradio.com. And if you love the show, let others know about it by sharing this audio link. You can make sure you never miss an episode when you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or your favorite podcast player.